What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one community for DJs to get paid for live streaming your sets. Today, we have my brother DJ Storyteller. Can you please introduce yourself to the people who you are and where you're from?
What's going on, world? This is DJ Storyteller out of Virginia, Newport News, Virginia. I've been in the game for a little bit. I took a hiatus because I had a child. I wanted to take care of my kids, make sure family first for me. I just got back in it like the last couple of years, going hard. I don't do the club scenes anymore because I can't. I'm too old for that. I'm 40 years old now, so I can't be doing a club. So I just do events, which I feel like I make more money at events versus clubs. And I don't have to worry about the rowdiness of the clubs. So me and my partner, actually, his name is Jamar. We call him Boy Wonder on the mic. We've been killing it here in Virginia doing these events. Hopefully we can take it, you know, outside the state here shortly. But yeah, that's what we've been doing. We got also started a podcast too not too long ago called Everything But Religion. Since we talk about everything, and I mean everything but religion, because that's a tough subject to deal with people. So we stay away from that one.
Okay. Awesome, brother. That's really good intro, man, and definitely want to jump into like your story. Like, tell me a little bit about how you got started as a DJ and kind of what sparked your interest to get into the game.
Oh yeah, I started in high school. Like I said, I'm 40, so I graduated in 1999. I started DJing in 98. I was doing clubs at that time. And that's how I know that I don't want to do clubs anymore, because there was a lot of stuff going on in clubs around here. I got records stolen, equipment broken, and never got replaced. So I think I went hard for about from 98 to about 2002. My son was born in 2001. I found out he was autistic, so I took some time off to deal with that because nobody knew what autism was back then. So I took that hiatus off, took a long hiatus off to deal with that. Son's grown now, so got back into it and just going.
Awesome, man. That's exciting, and kudos to you for just putting family first and making sure you did what you had to do as a father. Talk to me a little bit about just, you know, where did you go after high school? You started DJing in the clubs. You saw some good, you saw some bad. Just walk me through that journey so people can understand some of the challenges, some of the ups, some of the downs, and kind of when they're doing their journey, what's some things that they have to watch out for and how could they benefit from being a DJ as much as possible?
Oh, yeah. Man, them club scenes back then in the 90s, it was different. I could say I learned a lot. It was definitely, it made me who I am today as far as DJing. Back then, like I said, the clubs used to be heavy. The scenes was always dope. You could find a nice club to DJ, and most of the time they were fine. But at a certain point during the 90s, it started getting crazy. Rowdy started breaking out, fights breaking out. I didn't know nothing about insurance on equipment back then, so I didn't have none. So when they broke my stuff, it was just broke. The club didn't pay for it. And I was hurt for a while. And I was just like, yo, I can't believe they would just, you know, not take ownership of the stuff they know happened in their establishment on my stuff that I came in and helped them out. But you know, that's a lesson learned. Now I know there's insurance for, you can have insurance for just events. You don't have to carry insurance the whole time as far as for DJing. But that's something that definitely, if you're just starting out, make sure you do research on the places that you're about to DJ at, because now everything's on the internet. So you can search up that place on Facebook, Instagram, Google, whatever, and see what that establishment has done in the past until now to see if you're even right fit for that place. Because not even if you know you DJ, you're not a fit for every establishment that asks you to DJ at.
Yeah, I think that's a really good lesson, man. Talk to me a little bit about insurance, you know, where DJs can go and get insurance, how much it costs, and the benefits of why they should definitely have it.
Oh, yeah. I would say just Google it in whatever state you're in, because they all offer different insurance plans. It's not much, maybe about $100 for a 3 or 4 hour gig, which is definitely worth it, because you don't want somebody bump into your speaker and it fall on them and hurt somebody. Then you're held liable for that, and you don't want to take on somebody else's medical bills. Trust me, that's a long road you don't want to go down. So it's definitely a good idea to get insurance before events, or even sometimes the place that you're DJing at already has insurance installed for that event for a DJ, so you won't even have to worry about it, but it doesn't hurt to double check. It's something that you definitely need.
No, that's great advice, man. No, thank you. And talk to me from there, you know, what are some other lessons that you learned or some things that, you know, happened within your journey that you're able to learn from and talk to the audience about things that they should make sure that they learn as well in their journey?
I would first say confidence is a number one thing. Put in as much work as you can. When I first started, I was nervous to do the scratching and mixing and stuff because I was like, yo, they're not going to like this. They're not going to feel where I'm coming from, which is why I came up with the name DJ Storyteller, because I tell a story through my music. So me scratching and blending and all that stuff means something to me. I didn't know if it was going to mean something to the people that I'm playing it for. So just have that confidence to go out there and do your job and play the music that you know that you're familiar with. Some people are going to come up with them requests. That's another, a whole other ball game. Requests some different, but it's fun to entertain some of the requests. I've had times where people request songs 3 or 4 times over and I'm like, yo, I just can't stop what I'm doing to play your song. I'm a DJ, not a jukebox. So you got to give me a chance to, you know, get that song in my rotation. And that's the thing. Another thing you got to deal with DJing is requests. People, especially if you're at a party where there's alcohol involved, oh yeah, they're going to definitely come up to you. And they're going to be acting straight crazy sometimes if you don't play this song right away. Just, you know, you got to learn how to deal with, you know, push that nonsense off to the side and just keep doing your job. Don't let nobody, you know, psych you out of your job. Just do you, man. Just do
that,
you.
That's super interesting, man. I want to dive deeper into that. You know, when these, you know, sometimes drunk or just people that just want their songs played and come to your booth and everything like that, what's like the best way or some tips or advice that you have for when that those incidents happen? How do you best navigate through that so that we keep people happy, but you're also doing your job, maintaining your professionalism? So talk to me about some of the tips that you've learned over the years to make those experiences much better.
For one thing, you can't play everybody's song. That's one thing. So people will come up with a song you never even heard of, for one. And I wouldn't suggest playing it if you never heard it, because you don't know what message is in that song. I've had people come up to me at wedding receptions and wanted me to play, I don't know if everybody's familiar with Biggie, Somebody Gotta Die. Somebody wanted me to play that at a reception. I'm not playing that at nobody's reception. I don't care how many times I requested, how much money they give me, I can't play that at somebody's reception. Now you should know, you know what can be played and what can't be played at certain events. That definitely is not one song to play at an event, not at a wedding anyway. The request game is iffy. You just pretty much just play it out by ear. Whatever event you're at, if you feel like taking a certain amount of requests, take a certain amount of requests. For me, I leave a tip jar at the end of my table. So if somebody want to hear a request, they drop a tip in there, and they drop a tip in there, and I'll play it right away. Or they walk past and then request a song, then I'll play it later on. But tip jar always helps out with me. It helps definitely with requests, because people, if they want to hear it, they'll definitely will play for it. They'll pay a good penny for it. I had somebody pay me $100 for one song at a reception. And I said, yeah, you got it right now. You can play. I got 3-4 songs for you if you want. But that vibe, it was a good song. I could tell the guy had a good vibe. It was no ill intent. He just wanted to have a good time. That's pretty much where requests go off for me. The vibe of the party. I'm a good crowd reader, pretty much. From what I've been told, I used to get lists of music to play. Now that people just tell me, just go at it. We know what you can do.
Yeah, that's good advice, man. And I think that you have to be understanding of who's your audience, who's your customer, because, you know, if you're at somebody's wedding, but then somebody's cousin said they want this request, you got to think about who is your client. You know what I mean? Like, you got to make sure you just are thinking through what songs you're playing and how it fits into your set, and not just doing it, having a mechanism for people to do that, you know, by having that tip jar. It's helpful because if they really want to hear it, they're going to pay a tip. But if not, they're not going to just be saying request after request after request and bothering you. So I think by having some type of system in place makes it much more beneficial to everyone at the party and the event. So definitely. I like how you've done that. I like how you brought that up. You know, talk to me, you know, about after, you know, you kind of transitioned out of the club scene, you moved into weddings and personal and private events. Talk to me about, you know, the different mindset you have to have when doing these events versus when you're doing the kinds of club and public events.
I feel like clubs are hard to me, because the music these days that they play, you got to stay up with it, because that's the stuff they want to hear in clubs. At events, you can play Earth, Wind & Fire, the Bee Gees, you can play that stuff and people still gonna get a kick out of it. You try to play that at a club, Sneak Night, they'll probably boo you out of there. But from the mindset for me, I've always had the love for older music. So for when that music, the music that's still, that are still staples to events these days, like September and stuff like that, you still can play. I get a kick out of that. I get a kick out of seeing people dance to those songs still. Even when they request them, I'm excited to play them because I know that's my music. And I was born in the 80s, but that's my music. I love that music. And it's always a good feel. It makes people move. It makes people, it's a happy vibe. And no matter what, that old music got a happy vibe. The new music, I'm not gonna say it's not all happy, but it's different, and it's not for me no more. So that's why I can't do the club scene.
Gotcha. And what are some things that you do to increase the, you know, the amount of business you get on the private event side? What are some tips or some techniques that you use to get clientele?
Social media is a big one. If you have a business that you definitely want to thrive and grow in, social media is a big platform for that. If you can put up little mini videos of you mixing or doing sets, even at your events, if you got a video that you can put up on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, that right there is the best way to invest in yourself or advertise in yourself, because people are always on social media. If you can get a Google ad on social media or just on Google, period, you'll do good with that. Most of the time, that's how I got started, was I did one event for a lady. Somebody recorded it, they put it online, and word of mouth, it just kept flowing like that. And I've been working with this lady for 2 years now. Well, it's going on 3 years now. She's definitely kept me employed and busy with her.
That's great, man. And I think that kind of highlights an important point, like doing great at your events is how you sustain more business. Yeah. Because if you do a wonderful job, you take it seriously, people like to work people that they worked with before. And mm-hmm. if you do a good job, it's going to keep on getting you more opportunities with that person. And that's how you get more business after that. So just by being a good steward of the opportunities that are in front of you, you'll be able to get more business out of that. You know, what are some things that you really just enjoy about being a DJ, and what are some things that just keep you going and keep you excited in this industry?
And, the music and family to me run neck and neck. So my music is my family is my inspiration for my music. So whatever, when I get a gig, my sets are all mostly planned out. I try to get a playlist beforehand. I play it for my family at first so they can hear it. My little girls, they 6 and 2. They love the older music too. So if I can get them moving nonstop, then I know I got a good playlist I can play at any event. So they're a big help with anything. Even with the newer music, they're a big help. If I have to do an event that requires me to play some newer music, I run that through them. I'm like, yo, y'all think this is good to play? And yeah, all right. And so, I mean, like I said, music and family, this all is all one for me. It's always been something that I think my family, all of my family has put in place in their family is music. My kids, like I said, my kids are 6, 2, and 20. And my son, all he knows is old school rap. Like Tribe Called Quest, all that stuff. He's good with that stuff.
Awesome. And you know, you mentioned a bit in the beginning about your name, DJ Storyteller. You know, talk to me more about how you got that name and then what it means to you.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've been DJing since 98. I was 11th grade in high school. One of my friends had got into, he bought his first DJ set, and I was like, yo, I always wanted to play with that. Let me see what I could do. I just played with it, and I fell in love with DJing at that time. I started watching like Funk Flex. Lazy K was actually a big influence on me, a female DJ. She's nice, out of New York. She was a big influence on me DJing. Just hearing her DJing and the story she would tell with like doing the music, the mixing with the Wu-Tang songs. I'm like, yo, she's telling the story just with, you know, clips and stuff from music. I was like, yo, storyteller. That's me. I can be storyteller. I've always felt like music tells a story. If it's good, it's going to tell a good story that you can use in your life, or you can help somebody else in their life with a song that you heard that has a great story to it. So DJ Storyteller stuck, and I've had it since. I got it tattooed on me. I got shirts. I got hats. I got all types of apparel for it. So that's the name I'm riding with. That's me, DJ Storyteller.
Awesome, man. That's amazing. And I think that just the name itself plays a role into just how you go about your job and your career. When you're at these events and you're telling these stories through the music, it really sets a vibe for people, really has a big impact on their lives. So I definitely rock with that name. I think that is very fitting. You know, talk to me a little bit more about, you know, the people you surround yourself with, the crew that you've built, or just kind of people that has helped you reach to where you're at in your industry and your career.
Yeah, I have a good, I'm not gonna lie, I have a good set of friends. Well, they're not even friends anymore. I consider them family. I've known them 20 years plus. They've watched me go through the struggle that I had as far as DJing. Because when I wasn't doing it, I took the hiatus off. I was hurt. I was, music was my life at the time. So they helped me get through that dark time where I wasn't DJing. Even with the last year or so when COVID hit and like my name was starting to get big again. And it had to stop because of COVID. That mental health at that time was damaging because that's what helped me stay in a happy place was my music. Like, of course, my family's there. And I always cherish them for, you know, keeping me up when they did. But music is still, you know, something that helps out with that. So keeping them around and having those same set of people from the beginning has definitely been a blessing and has definitely helped me out through everything. And I will always cherish and honor them for that. Even if they don't know it, if they, after they hear this, I hope they do. But I definitely cherish everybody that came in path in my life. I definitely cherish every last one of them, family and friends included.
Yeah, it's super important. It's really hard to go on this journey alone. But when you have a strong support system, it makes it so much easier. It makes it so much, you know, support that you have to keep going in your business, to find new deals, find new opportunities because of your network. So I'm really glad that you had that. You know, I would love to hear, you know, what are some things that you're focused on now and how can my community and the people that I have in my surrounding and our audience help and support you?
Now my main focus is, you know, the country is starting to open up a little bit. I have been blessed to be able to get some gigs. I actually got two this week, and then I got some starting in June, the beginning of June. I just, you know, everybody just keep. I have a radio show also that's on live365.com under Powered by Virginia Radio. Called Everything But Religion. We air every Tuesday at 5:00. It's a great show. You definitely should check it out if you can. We don't focus on the music too much. I mean, we talk about music, but I don't get the chance to showcase my talents as of yet because it's just getting started. So we're just doing interviews for right now. So we got some good interviews. I don't know if anybody watches The Good Girls from NBC. We have Carlos Aviles up there. He's our very first celebrity interview. The mayor of Richmond, which is a young African-American male he was the youngest African-American male to run the city of Virginia, of Richmond in Virginia. So he's doing his big things. He's 40 years old. It's his second term. So it's a good interview. Like I said, we're going after trying to go that route right now until the country opens back up and I can get back out of the DJing. But like I said, if y'all can just tune in and look at that stuff, that'll be a great, great, greatly appreciate it.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we have that stuff in the show notes, brother. And let's jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Hardware. Let's see. I run with Serato. I got the DDJ SR2 as the controller. I don't use Mac system. I use HP system. I've had people say that Mac is better, but I'm trying to prove them wrong. HP works great for me.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Right now, I don't know. I'm still a Funk Flex fan. I still love Funk Flex. He's still my guy.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
2 years ago, I did a great food truck event. It's like, I swear, about 30 food trucks get in one big parking lot. I'm in the middle. I get to play my music. Well, the good thing about it was it's a mixed crowd. So you have everybody in the crowd. And for me to play music and have everybody together dancing in one group, that gave me goosebumps and chills because I got to see everybody together. That's what that's what music is. It brings people together. And that's that, that time I saw that. It was lovely.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
That's a good question. I met a lot of good people. I would say there's a local DJ around, two of them actually, DJ Fonts and DJ Rick G's. They're really good, like down to earth, humble people. And I've met some DJs that I've asked for advice from before, and they just shut me down. These two guys right here, they DJ Fonts and Rick G's have definitely give me some information to help me along the way. And a radio host on 94.9 here in locally, her name is Devin. She gave me advice on doing the podcast. I was nervous at first on, you know, what to talk about, how to find your voice. A radio voice is different from a DJ voice. So she gave me advice on that, and she definitely helped out too.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I really don't know, because I really haven't done too many live streaming events for as far as DJing. I see other people do it. I don't know how it is monetizing the live streaming events. I would like to do one. I think it's dope. But as far as me doing, I don't know too much information to actually comment on that situation.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
DJ Lady Desire, she actually had a set last month on Sway in the Morning on XM Radio. She's dope too, out of Virginia Beach. My boy DJ UK is a soca DJ right here in the States, in Virginia. The really good soca DJ. Man, as I'm gonna shout out Rick G's again, DJ Fonts. It's just so many. I can't even think of right now, but I hope nobody thinks I'm forgetting them, but everybody I mentioned or haven't mentioned have definitely helped me out.
Awesome. We look forward to hearing their stories one day. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
You can find me online on Facebook, Instagram, under DJ Storyteller 59. YouTube channel is Everything But Religion. You can check out that. I'll be posting my videos up there as far as mixing and stuff. We got interviews up there for the radio show. We have a contest going on right now for once we get to 100 subscribers on YouTube, we give out $100. We just had a big shoe, Jordan shoe raffle that was $15, and somebody won a pair of Jordans out of that. So we stay tuned. We got some stuff coming for everybody.
Awesome, bro. This has been an amazing interview, man. We learned a lot, and you were super open and candid about your story. Super excited to be watching you on the story that you're telling and ongoing. So we're excited to have you, DJ Storyteller. Please, everyone, please check him out. Follow him. Check out his new podcast. Really doing a lot of great work, and appreciate you spending your time with us.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.